From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 8th, 2014. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Brands, typically not so well-known ones, are using maps to drive awareness and buzz about their offerings. Is this a valid strategy? How well do these maps work? We'll look at two offerings that appeared in the past week, one about wine and one about money management, and try to tease out some best practices. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Map out your future in one of the top three high-growth industries. With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you'll be an expert in spatial thinking and geographic information systems. And you'll have the tools that will make you indispensable in the industry. The degree is completed entirely online in cohort-based classes, so it's perfect for working professionals. For more information, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
The first map I want to look at is from a company called VinePair, which I had never heard of. First of all, what is VinePair? Per the site, VinePair is a new way to understand and talk about wine. We're removing the anxiety, pretense, and insider language from one of the world's oldest beverages. And from what I can understand, the business model is that you'll be matched to a wine that works for you, you can learn about wine, and then at some point they will enable you to buy the wine, but which is kind of hard cross-country with the different legal issues and so forth. So there isn't a whole big push about selling right now. In fact, it's a very clean site. There's no ads or anything. Put out this map this week, and the map was, and I'll use their description from the post, per capita wine consumption per state since 1994. These numbers are actually misleadingly low, as they use the entire state population instead of the drinking age population. And what you have there is an animated GIF that walks through year by year, and the colors change and the numbers change. To their credit, the site went on to look at the patterns, and here's what they said. What we find interesting is that the long, steady increase in American wine consumption isn't a story of the same old people just drinking more wine. Rather, it's more people in more states drinking more wine. So I really like that they did the analysis. So they had this animated GIF, and it appeared on their site on March 26th, and then it appeared on April 3rd over on IO9, and then it appeared at Business Insider, which is a pretty well-known, very highly trafficked site, on April 2nd. And it was interesting that on the Business Insider site, there was actually a legend, but there wasn't one on the original map. So I actually ended up contacting one of the guys from VinePair, one of the founders, Josh Mallon, and he explained that they had asked for a legend, which he provided to the Business Insider folks, but he didn't put it on his own blog, which I thought was interesting. And he also explained about the source of the data, that it came from the Brewer's Almanac. And he also said, and this also I found just interesting, we're usually much more careful about citing data, but this map was a quick project I dashed off for fun that turned out a lot more popular than we expected. So it was done sort of for fun, but it was picked up. And what I want to sort of dive into now, how well was it picked up? Why was it picked up? What might have changed to make it even more pick-upable?
I didn't see the map until you pointed it out to me, so I don't know if it was picked up by the mainstream media at all. I think they did a good job in piquing people's interest. I think the animation, I think, is what got probably people, that they wanted to see the spread of consumption. I think that was one thing that really worked for the map. I also think that putting the numerical value of the total number of consumption was particularly useful, because if you looked at it long enough, you could see some very interesting changes. In particular, to me, was actually in some states, consumption dropped in 2000, and I'm not sure what the reason is, but it also dropped during the recession. So if you were interested in that aspect of did the economy impact wine consumption, you could tease that out. But you had to look at it long enough to actually see those trends.
Yeah, and that isn't something that I see very often, especially in an animated map that would have data like that sort of changing regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You might see that on a map where you get to control the animation, you know, like with a slider or a play button or something. But this was on a loop, so you couldn't stop.
Yeah, you couldn't see it. No, and I would have appreciated being able to stop so I could see trends. Could I understand if there was a certain trend being manifested related to some economic trend.
Yeah, and I think that the stickiness, you would have spent more time with it if you had that kind of control. Now, this is a lot to ask because this is a website about wine. These are not cartographers. Clearly, right. They figured out how to get the data, how to make the map, and as you point out, did a terrific job for a bunch of folks who are not geeky GIS people. So I thought that part of it was great. What other things do you think might have made it more pick-upable?
To view something on a statewide basis like this, I'm not sure you get the appreciation as you would if you looked at it by something a little bit more detailed. Whether you could look at it by city or look at it by even county level, would that bring out? I don't know if that would have added much, but again, as a geographer, you may want to, you always want more data, right? So maybe that would have helped. I think in this case, maybe the graduated symbol map might have helped a little bit more than the thematic, but again, that's being kind of picky.
Yeah, the other thing that I found really interesting was that every site that picked it up included the animated GIF in their coverage. And they linked back to VinePair, which was really the point. But there was no code. There was no, like, embed code or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that might have gone a lot further to have it appear in more blogs and other places. Because you had to be able to dig into the code and get the GIF. And you had to know a little bit to do that. The other thing that I thought was really smart, and this is, you know, from a marketing standpoint, if you're going to go through the trouble to make a map like this, put your name on it. And they did that, in this sort of interesting, unique font that they use for the site. So it was really good branding.
Yeah, very good branding.
Yeah, and that was really, really nicely done. And the other thing I really want to give them credit for is they didn't just make the map and throw it out there. They did some analysis. So that was they found a story in the map.
Well, and they linked it back to what their business model was, which is you got to find the right wine at the right price for your interest. And I think that was good.
And then, right, get that delivered. So, yeah, well done to VinePair. Let's move on to another map. And this is from a website called Wallet Hub, which I'd also not heard of. So what is Wallet Hub? Wallet Hub is the social network for your wallet, which just makes me laugh. And their little tagline is, let the Wallet Hub community help you make smarter financial decisions. Your wallet will thank you. And this one also has an interesting kind of business model because they don't actually sell anything, but they do take advertising. It's sort of not clear where that's headed, but that's the current state of things. And the map that they offered has to do with something called wallet wellness. And let me explain what that is. There's a definite correlation between physical, emotional, and financial well-being, or what could be collectively referred as our wallet wellness. So in celebration of National Financial Literacy Month and to promote the adoption of responsible habits, both directly and indirectly related to personal finance, Wallet Hub decided to identify and honor the U.S. cities that are altogether most conducive to wallet wellness. And here's what they did. We compared the 150 largest cities in the United States in terms of 8 key metrics designed to gauge the responsibility with which consumers manage both their finances and their lifestyles, as well as the extent to which local dynamics promote wealth creation and upward mobility. So what you end up with is a map with 150 of the largest cities, and there's a gradient from green to red. Green is 1 and red is 150. And there are graduated symbols, and if you mouse over the symbols, you see the ranking of the city on among these 150 cities. This really had me scratching my head because I found it. I didn't immediately understand what it was they were showing me. How did you react to this map?
Yeah, you and me both had a problem, I think, with this map. The color ramp was fine. The green to red was probably the right choice, you know, green for wallet health, red for poor financial management. But this leaves you with the impression that most cities east of the Mississippi have populations that poorly manage their wealth. And while Californians seem to have the wealth issue solved, if we take the two cities that have the median rank of 75, Boston and Tulsa, I'd like to see them portrayed with more neutral color. So to me, the brown skews to the red. Like I said, I like the color ramp, but I might have inserted a white or a gray for that median color. And then the second thing is, the graduated symbols, I mean, I had to figure out that they related to the rank as opposed to anything meaningful. And that, to me, totally obscured the meaning. There was no need to have the graduated symbol.
It's a bivariate map without two variables.
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, forget the graduation. Just red or green.
You know, right. So Lincoln, Nebraska, which is ranked number 3, is this tiny little green dot.
Tiny little dot. Right. I know. It's ridiculous.
And it took me a long time to figure this out, and I will admit this. I was going to post on Twitter because I couldn't figure it out, but I'm glad I did. Patience, I did figure it out. Now, this one actually got picked up by 7 or 8 mostly local newspapers across the United States, and it's sort of what you would think. If their city ranked high, they would say, hey, we have great wallet health, right? And not so many if they didn't rank high. If they weren't listed, I saw an article about one city that wasn't listed because they didn't read the fine print about it's only the biggest 150 cities. And also, I found a couple of articles where the city sort of did okay in the overall rankings, but that they were number 1 in one of the factors.
Right.
So Anchorage, Alaska was number 1 in highest economic mobility rank. Right. And that was picked up because of that, even though otherwise it didn't do so well. So a really interesting map. The other thing that was interesting about this map is, unlike the Vine Pair map, there was embed code for this.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So right under the map, you could just take the code, plop it into your Facebook post or your blog, and this map would appear. Do you know how many times I saw this map out on the web?
How many?
Zero. Zero. Nobody picked up this map. And you know why? Because like us, they didn't understand it.
Oh, well.
That's my best guess. The idea was good. They clearly wanted to get the concept of wallet wellness out there, sort of as a defined term maybe that Wallet Hub owns, and that's all well and good. But the map was actually a deterrent in one sense. What was a success, I think, was the idea of ranking. Right? Because everyone wants to say, we're in the top 10 of something.
Yeah, I would agree. And it almost lent itself more to an infographic than anything. I like the way that they ranked the top 5 in each of their individual category criteria. And I think that was extremely helpful.
Right, with little icons and everything?
Yeah, no, that was very well done. But the map left me wanting, the best way to put it.
Yeah, no, I think the whole idea of ranking things is going to get pickup. But this was a situation where, you know, maybe don't even do the map. Do an infographic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. that'll work a whole lot better. So what is it we're learning as we look at these efforts to use maps, which we really want people to do as geographers and GIS professionals? What advice can we give to organizations that want to use maps to get the word out about what they're doing?
To me, if you're going to use a map and you're going to use data, you better pair the data with the right visualization strategy, right? And maybe it'd be best to consult a person who's familiar with digital cartography to figure out, you know, whether you should use a graduated symbol or a thematic map or other representation, a prismatic map, anything like that, that you think is going to convey the best information. Even if you forgot about working with colors, let's just look at the representation of geographic significance. So whether that's a ranking or whether that's the visualization of the animation like we saw in the Vine Pair one, I think it'd be good to do a little testing with people. Ask your neighbor to see if they understand it, in particular somebody who's not familiar with your business model. It just seems to be that they should have given a little bit more thought as to whether maps are going to work for them or not.
Yeah, I think the opposite logic actually made the Vine Pair map more successful, and that's that it was a quick and dirty kind of project, per the author, and they basically found the simplest way they could find to get this data up, is my guess. And that made for a very simple map, not as elegant, not as interactive as it might have been, as we discussed, but I think everybody understood it. Lean to the side of simplicity. Again, we're living in this soundbite culture. So if somebody looks at a map and they have to spend too much time to dig into it to figure out what it's talking about, they're going to go to another website. Better to be, I think, simpler than more complicated. Having said that, if you want to have more detail or the raw data provided elsewhere, that's awesome for the geeky GIS people. But for the pickup, if you're trying to get buzz about your organization, simple is better. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
And from our sponsor, with a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you can map out your future. At Elmhurst, you'll work with experienced educators and professionals, and you can complete the program in just 2 years. And Elmhurst has a dedicated GIS server, so you get hands-on experience. To learn more, visit go.elmhurst.edu/SPSMAGS.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at Directions Mag. You can leave us a comment where this podcast is posted at Directions Magazine, or you can send us an email at editors@directionsmag.com. And we'd love to see other maps put together by companies trying to get buzz that are successful. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.